الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: واعبد ربك حتى يأتيك اليقين. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Honorable ulama ikram, respected elders, brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this universe, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full control over every atom, over every iota that is present in this universe. To run the system of this dunya, this world, this universe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a special pattern which we will call the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that when the sun would rise, when it would set, there's a special pattern throughout the year. It only happens at that particular time. Likewise, the changing of the seasons. Likewise, the high tide and the low tide in the oceans. All these different examples in the creation of the universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to run this universe, has a special pattern which we call the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا, that you will not find a change in this pattern of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is because of this pattern being so fixed and so perfect and so complete that insan has made so much effort, so much research and so much experiment, that he has advanced psychologically, he has advanced technologically, scientifically, and he has tried to make his life easy for himself. In the English terminology, it will be called, or rather in the scientific terminology, it will be called physical laws. But that physical laws is actually the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his qudrat, his power, his might, which over or surpasses everything else. Though Allah has created a system, but Allah is not bound to that system. He changes it whenever He so wishes through His qudrat. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Whenever Allah ta'ala intends to have something done, Allah says, be, and it comes into existence. This qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that it does not need to be subservient to any law, or it does not need to be subservient to any principle. It surpasses everything. It is the total desire and mashiat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, generally, the principle is when a man and woman get together, then a child is born. But in the case of Adam alayhi salatu was salam, he was brought into existence without a father and mother. Hawa alayhi salatu was salam likewise was brought into existence without a father and mother. Isa alayhi salatu was salam was brought into existence without a father, only a mother. That is the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We as mu'min, as Muslims, need to have total faith in the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Logically speaking, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was flung into the fire, he needed to burn. But Allah's qudrat was overpowering this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the fire that, no, you become cool for Ibrahim. So Allah Ta'ala's qudrat controls everything in this dunya, in this universe. And our iman and our yaqeen needs to be on the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that what we see with our eyes. That does not necessarily mean, or asbab that we see, the means that we see, that does not necessarily mean we're going to achieve or we're going to get what we see with these natural eyes. Sometimes ulama write, ke izzat ke nakshon mein zillat hota hai. Nafa ke nakshon mein nuksan hota hai. That what we regard as something that's going to give dignity, in that is a person's humiliation. Sometimes we feel that this is going to be beneficial, but in that there is harm and nuksan for us. Example of a farmer who was having or was planting rice in his field. And we all know that the rice paddy fields needs a lot of water, much more water than is needed for everything else. So after the rice season finished, the ground was very, very moist. And now he needed to plant vegetables so that he could get another harvest out of it. He could make some more profit out of it. With the result, he planted all the seeds for the vegetables. But because the ground was so moist, these vegetables were not growing as quick as he needed it to grow, so that they could be ready for the time, for the season. With the result, everyone else's plants or everyone else's vegetables came into the market on its time. His was slowly coming. And whoever he asked, they said, no, the chemical content of the ground is not right. The ground is too wet. This is not right. That is not right. It seems you're going to have a bit of a loss this year. You're not going to have a good crop. But it so happened when everybody else's harvest came to the market, because of the glut in the market, all the prices dropped. And they just managed to barely cover the money they put into the land. They didn't really make much profit. And just when the season was finished, and now there was a shortage of vegetables, this person's vegetables came into the market, because they came slowly. And now the prices went to skyrocket. So what he got out of what he thought was harm was more beneficial for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in mysterious ways. Sometimes what we think is harmful is actually beneficial to us. And sometimes what we think is beneficial is actually harmful to us. So our iman and our yaqeen is to be on the zat and the being and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not those things that we see with our eyes. If a person comes to a doctor and he says, I've got fever, what does the doctor do? The doctor will say maybe the possible causes of the fever, it could be you have infection, maybe you have malaria, you have this, you have that. So these are all differential reasons that the doctor has put forward. Imkani wujuhan. And then what happens is, after the tests are taken, and when it is confirmed that no, you've got fever because of malaria, now that is no more a differential reason, that is a definite reason that you have got fever because of malaria. The difference is, whatever we see around in the world is all differential reasons. And whatever Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam has come to us, come with to us, those are definite reasons. If we think that all these things are happening around us, maybe because of a bat or a rat somewhere else, then in reality, these are differential reasons that are reality. But the definite reason is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِينَا. That this confusion, this fitna, this turmoil will come onto people because of what their own hands have earned. مَا أَصَابَ بِمُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. That no difficulty comes upon a person, upon a nation, until and unless he earns it is because of what he earns, what he has done. The reaction of his action, so to say. So, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, our pious predecessors, our mashayikh, our ulama, they see the definite reason and they see it from the Quran and Hadith. Unfortunately, our iman and our yaqeen is so weak that we see all the differential reasons around us. Whatever is happening, this is going to happen, so you must do this. This is going to happen, so you must mask. This is 2 meters away. This particle is going to come, etc., etc. But there is no reality behind it. There is no definite consistency in whatever is being told to us. If it is said that you go to the masjid, na'udhu billah, some of our Muslims are saying that masjid is a place of super spread. Whereas Allah Ta'ala says that if you go to the masjid, فَهُوَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ Nabi Karim said, whoever goes in the masjid is in the protection of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So in reality, you should spend more time in the masjid in this situation than spending less time. Because as long as you are in the masjid, you are in the protection of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So this is what we need to understand. Our iman and our yaqeen is in all differential reasons. It is not on definite reasons. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on one occasion, sent a message, a note, to Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the commander-in-chief of the Muslim army. And they were getting victory upon victory. They were conquering town after town. And Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid received the note of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sayyidina Umar wrote in there that, O Khalid ibn Walid, from today you are no more a commander-in-chief of the Muslim army. If you so wish, you can fight as an ordinary soldier, and if you so wish, you can come back to Medina, come to me. So Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu immediately relieved himself from the position of commander-in-chief, and he said that I rather fight as an ordinary soldier. A short period after that, somebody asked Khalid ibn Walid that, didn't you feel disgraced, humiliated when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu took you away from that position? He says, whether I was commander-in-chief or whether I was an ordinary soldier, I was fighting for Allah ta'ala. So it didn't make any difference to me. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, somebody asked him that such a great soldier, such a great commander, such a victorious person, and you took him out and you put in somebody else in his place. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, yes, I deprived the Ummah of such a great commander-in-chief, but I saved the iman. Because the people's nazar, the people's eyes were now going onto Khalid ibn Walid, and it moved away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The yaqeen was that now because Khalid ibn Walid is the commander-in-chief of the army, we're going to get more and more victory. But in reality, victory was not because of Khalid ibn Walid, victory was because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So like that, there are so many incidences in Quran and Ahadith which repeatedly proves that everything that we see with our eyes is not necessarily what we see. There can be dhoka in it, there can be great deception in it. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what is in Quran and Hadith, there's absolutely no dhoka and no doubt in it. But our yaqeen is so weak that we follow everything else but that which is mentioned to us by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we look into the Quran, we find the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam. Musa alayhi salam, Allah asked him, what is in your hand? He said, Qala hiya asai. Atawakkau alayha wa hushubia. It's a stick in my hand. I graze my animals. I do this, do this, do this. Allah said, oh Musa, throw it down. And Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam threw it down. Fa'idha hiya hayyatun tas'a. It became a big serpent. Now logic tells you that if it's a serpent, either you run away from it or you make a point of trying to kill it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show that my qudrat prevails over whatever you see. Allah said, oh Musa, hold this stick. Hold this serpent. When Musa alayhi salam held it, it came back into a stick. Like that, as we mentioned, as we heard yesterday, the incident of Fir'aun. On one side was Fir'aun with his army. In front was the River Nile. In between was the Bani Israel with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. There were no way that they could have been saved. The only thing was, either that stick of Musa alayhi salam, which was a stick of barakah and blessings, he should have rather used that to attack the army of Fir'aun. But Allah said, oh Musa, take the stick and don't hit Fir'aun, hit the River Nile. When Musa alayhi salam took that stick and hit the River Nile, 12 paths came. Every family, every tribe crossed from there. So in reality, the stick that was in the hands of Musa alayhi salam was not, the power was not in the stick. The power was with the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that changed the condition. So an incident comes to mind that on one occasion, there was a very pious, saintly person. living in a town, and the people of this town were very affluent, very wealthy, but they were transgressors. They really went out of their way to do everything that was wrong. When they were repeatedly told, come to the right path, do that which Allah and His Prophet wants, they really would not take heed to any advice. So this very saintly person decided, if I am going to be amongst them, then I may also, when the punishment will come, I'll also be destroyed. So he left the place and he went out into the jungles. When he got into the jungles, from there he was making his ibadat, his worship, and every day he used to make dua for the people of the town, that, oh Allah, you give them hidayat, oh Allah, you give them hidayat. And his khadim that was with him, for a short period of time, seen that my sheikh is making so much dua for the hidayat, but nothing is really happening, it's actually getting worse, it's not changing. So in turn, now quietly, when the sheikh was making dua for the hidayat of the people, he said, Ya Allah, make me the king of this place so that I can fix these people up. I will torture them more and fix them up. And it wasn't long after that, the king that was reigning over the town died. And the thing was, now they had to appoint another king. So it was decided that the very first person to enter the town tomorrow in the morning will be made the king of this town. And then what happens is, the next morning, the king and the khadim did not, the sheikh and the khadim did not know this was the situation. So as time and as they needed provisions, the sheikh told the khadim, you go to the town and go fetch some provisions so that we can have something to carry on. And this person, this khadim, decided to leave very, very early in the morning. So when the doors, the gates of the town opened, in the past those towns used to be walled. When the gates opened, the very first person to enter was this khadim. So he was taken and made the king. And the next thing what was happening was, after he became the king, he started torturing the people. He started showing, making more zulm on them. And to such an extent that the people became totally frustrated. And they became totally helpless. They did not know what to do. So they went in search of the sheikh, thinking that maybe if the sheikh comes and talks to him, or maybe because of the influence of the sheikh, maybe he'll become a bit softer, he'll change. Somehow or the other, they found the sheikh in the jungle, and they spoke to him. So he says, how am I now going to convince him? He's already executed so many people. I don't know what is actually happening to him, what went wrong with him. But if I come, maybe he'll even do something, harm me as well. So somehow or the other, they convinced him, and the sheikh then came. And when the sheikh came into the court of that khadim, which was the king, he actually stood up in respect, and he made him sit on his place. And the sheikh said, I came to actually make sifarish, I came to intercede for the people of the town. You are treating them very cruelly. You are becoming very harsh to them. And you are really doing a lot of oppression. So he said, sheikh, I understand. But let me tell you something. He says, when you were making so much dua, the deeds were not worthy of your dua. The deeds were not worthy of your dua. When I started making the wrong dua, the deeds were worthy of my dua. And that is why I am here to punish them. So sometimes we don't realize, there are Ahlullah amongst us, there are pious people amongst us. They make a lot of dua. But our deeds, our niyat, our way of life, our outlook, our thinking is not worthy of their dua. And that is why sometimes those duas don't come benefit us. If we have that inclination in us, and if we have that if we want to change, then the small dua will change everything. But because unfortunately it comes to a point where we don't want to change, we feel the way that we are going on is fine. Our happiness lies in it, our success lies in it. It is that deception of our eye which we have left the definite reason. We are going to the differential reasons, and we are looking at those things as our savior, as those things as our that will take us forward in life. And that is because of that we are going through all the conditions that we are going through. We are facing all the failures that we are experiencing. If we come back to our basics, and what is our basics? We start increasing our ibadat. Sometimes we feel we only make 5 times namaz, I've done my duty, it's over. Allah Ta'ala says, no, you need to bring this yaqeen in you. And how will this yaqeen come? By excessive ibadat. وَعَبُدْ رَبَّكْ Hatta ya'tiyakal yaqeen. Make so much ibadat of your Rabb that yaqeen finally enters your heart. And when that ibadat is just not being complacent, making my 5 times namaz, I'm happy reading. No. Make more namaz, as we heard, yes. Make a lot of your nawafil, make a lot of tahajjud, make a lot of dua, make a lot of zikr in excess. And as you will make ibadat in excess, and as you will follow the prescriptions given, and you will increase in that, then what will happen? Yaqeen will enter your heart. Now when yaqeen enters your heart, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, when yaqeen entered their heart, the battle of Badr, how many were they? 313. What did they have? Hardly any arms. But yaqeen was so strong that we will fight for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are prepared to give our lives. And what was the outcome of it? Throughout the history of Islam, even in today's time, people would flip-flop, people would chumple. Allah Ta'ala gave them victory. Why? Because they had yaqeen. They had faith, they had true conviction in whatever they believed in. So our deficiency is, we do not have so much true faith and conviction. And the true faith and conviction, there is the lack of it, because we do not have excess in our ibadah. We do not exert ourselves. So we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gives us the tawfiq, He gives us the courage, the strength, that we should be able to make excess ibadah, so that yaqeen can come into our hearts. Once yaqeen enters our heart, then to follow any part of deen, any sharia ruling, any sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam will become easy for us. And until and unless we do not have that yaqeen, then we start questioning so many things. We start questioning fundamental aspects of deen. Then we find people who we talk of irtidad. And especially in today's time, there are so many very, very important and proven factors of deen that we question. It is simply because we do not have that yaqeen. So we need to understand, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala on one occasion, somebody brought poison in front of him. And he says, Umar, if you have true iman and faith, just drink this poison. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala's iman was of that level. On one occasion it is mentioned, ulama write, that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala had a little bit of, not doubt, but some thoughts were creeping in his heart regarding a lot of things Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and he was in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picked up that Umar is going through a turmoil. So at that point of time, the Mubarak hand of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck the breast of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yabna al-Khattab, O the son of Khattab. Immediately he got shaken, he got back to himself. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Umar, do you doubt me? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, absolutely not. O Nabi of Allah, when you hit your Mubarak hand on my breast, I could see the angels from the heavens descending to the earth, and I could see the angels of the earth ascending to the heavens. So how can I doubt you? The iman was of such a level, the yaqeen was of such a level, that when the poison was put forward, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, my life does not depend on this. And Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and he drank that whole glass or bottle of poison, and nothing happened. Why? Because this yaqeen was truly in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, unfortunately, the smallest fear that is put into our heart, we take it and we run, hook, line and sinker, and we think that is what is going to happen to us. We do not look at the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do not look at the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not look at sharia, and that is because this brings a great deficiency in our iman, in our tarakki of our iman, in the progress of our iman. May Allah Ta'ala give us the realization and understanding that we need to make an effort. And alhamdulillah, under the watchful eye of our shaykh and our akabir, that we should make an effort so that our yaqeen and our iman can be increased, it can be uplifted, so that all this fitan that will come and they will unfold day after day, it must not be able to. It will be like we are in a glass house, and outside the storm is moving, but inside we know we are safe. Allah Ta'ala make it such, and Allah protect our iman and give us strength in our yaqeen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.